From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Thousands of mourners gathered last night for a candlelight vigil in downtown Orlando, leaving flowers, candles, and notes for the victims of the attacks. We are learning more about the victims and those who were injured in the shooting, the human faces and the stories of heroism behind the country's worst mass shooting. This hour On Point, back to Orlando, you can join the conversation. Is this a turning point for LGBT acceptance? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Later in this hour, we'll speak with writer Michael Denzel Smith. His memoir, Invisible Man, Got the Whole World Watching, a young man's Black man's education, is out today. We'll hear that in a few minutes. But joining me first now from Orlando is Dominic Holden, a reporter on LGBT issues for BuzzFeed. His latest piece is titled LGBT People in Orlando Refuse to Go Back into the Closet. You can find a link at our website, onpointradio.org. Dominic, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us what the feeling is there today in Orlando.
Well, you know, I've been speaking to a lot of people in Orlando, including many people who lost their friends and family. And, you know, obviously this is very hard for everyone in the city, but it's particularly hard for LGBT people. They're wondering why their community was chosen. They're wondering when the initial shock turns into complete grief. And they wonder if these safe spaces for them are going to become and feel safe again.
You were at a massive vigil last night in downtown Orlando. Paint us a picture of what you saw and what you heard.
The vigil last night was attended by thousands of people in one of the main plazas in the middle of the town. There was a stage and a number of people, LGBT leaders and city officials, who were speaking and pledging their resolve to stay strong and stay together and not be cowed by these attacks. So probably the moment that moved people the most was not the speeches, but when they rang a bell tower once for each of the victims. And people held up their candles, and there were a lot of tears. I think that while, you know, people can be moved by speeches, a lot of people are still just coming to terms with what this means and accepting that something like this has happened in a place that really never expected anything like this.
Here's Allegra Schell, who identifies as a member of the LGBT community, speaking last night at the vigil in downtown Orlando for the victims of the shooting.
Love conquers hate all the time. You can't beat love. You're not going to beat love. You can try. You can slow us down, but you won't stop us. Together we'll stand as a united front, and we'll come together as one and rise again, just like we always do.
Dominic, we're hearing these incredible stories of heroism from the shooting, incredible stories also of horror. Last night on CNN, Anderson Cooper spoke to one victim of the shooting who was shot twice. He was released from the hospital yesterday. He told Cooper what happened in that Pulse bathroom.
Someone starts screaming, like, please, 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 don't shoot us, don't shoot us. And he does the first round through the door.
Of the stall where you were?
Of the stall that I was in. And that's when I got my first wound, which was an entrance and an exit. We start yelling again, please, please, don't shoot. There's people in the background just begging him, like, please, please, don't shoot. Like, we haven't seen your face. We don't know what you look like. You haven't spoken. We don't know anything. Just please let us go. Like, don't do this. And I guess that just, like I said, I guess it like enticed him to do it more. And he put his hand over the stall and just free shot. And that's when he got me here.
Dominic Holden, you've spoken with many people who have had friends who were victims and others. What are you hearing?
I spoke to two people who work at Pulse, and they were off of work that night. They've lost friends in the shooting. One of them, as soon as he heard what had happened, the death toll was already 20 people, and he rushed to the hospital. He knew the regulars, he knew the employees, and he wanted to help families find out if their kids had been at the club. He got photos from the family, and he actually went on Facebook Live and broadcast live to his social network, trying to figure out who'd been at the club that night, who'd escaped, who was at the hospital, and who had died. And he was actually able to help a number of families find out at least some clues about the status of their kids. Mm. But he said it was an awful situation. There were parents who were passing out, crying for their sons, and punching walls. One of the things that frustrated people, including families who I spoke to, is that for quite a while the names hadn't come out. And now that the names are available, it still didn't sink in for some people. This employee who'd gone to help families at the hospital, he said that it wasn't until photos were posted that he realized how many people he knew who'd been killed. He said, there were more people affected than I thought. And that's because many people in the LGBT community, they'll not use their legal name, but a chosen name. And he was scared after all of this to go out the first night, but he said he's been resisting that. He said that whoever does this wants to strike fear into our hearts and make us afraid to go out. But he said, I'm not going to do that.
This morning in an interview with NBC's Today Show, the Pulse nightclub owner, Barbara Poma, shared her account of the night that the shooting took place.
When my manager called me and told me, and he was just yelling into the phone, he just kept saying, we have a shooter, we have a shooter. I just kept screaming, you know, what? And finally it sunk in, and you can't wrap your brain around that. You just can't.
And here's Carlos Smith of Equality Florida, a group that advocates for LGBT rights, telling PBS NewsHour that the LGBT and Latino communities have been hit hard by the deadly mass shooting in Orlando. Here he is on that.
There were many LGBTQ Latinos and allies who were there who are devastated. And I think it now is the time to have conversations with one another about inclusivity, about pushing back on some of the rhetoric that we're hearing around the world.
The headline, Dominic Holden, of a story that you wrote reads, LGBT people in Orlando refuse to go back in the closet. Can you give me some examples of how that's playing out right now in the city?
Well, you know, one of the things that I heard from a married couple, two women who attended this vigil last night in downtown Orlando, you know, while they said that there were these positive messages being broadcast in media, they said that a lot of people they knew, possibly most people they knew, actually took an attitude that maybe the shooting wasn't all bad, that the people who were at this gay bar and who were partying had sort of reaped what they sowed. And they blamed a conservative culture in Florida. They actually cited Donald Trump in an interview with me, saying that, you know, he promotes an attitude that people will say whatever they believe now. She actually responded directly to Trump's slogan, Make America Great Again. She made a handmade rainbow sign that said, Make America Nice Again.
Let's get a call in here. Curtis in Nashville, Tennessee. Curtis, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My comment was the father, when they interviewed the father, he didn't respond. And in fact, he didn't say that he didn't raise his son, you know, to be inclusive or to be tolerant of other.
The father of the shooter, right.
Yes, Omar. And but what I've heard now, new information that I've heard, I don't know how true it is, that he was also gay himself, but I want to know if this could change the way that terror analysts view the shooting. Although it was obviously terrorism, but domestic terrorism, but could it be a different way we look at it now that now we know that he may be, you know, gay himself?
Well, that is pure speculation, Curtis. We have heard that. Dominic Holden, what do you make of that?
Well, there has been a lot of speculation. There's been disconnected bits of information that could point to motives. There's nothing clearly that identifies that he was gay. I have yet to see evidence that he absolutely had used these apps. But I did speak to one man who said that he believed that he'd actually seen the shooter on one of these gay apps. But when I asked him more, he declined to talk about it. He said that the focus shouldn't be on the shooter. It should be on the victims. At the same time, other people are wondering if this guy was secretly gay, or if perhaps he'd been infiltrating the gay community out of animus.
One issue that's come up since the Orlando massacre is the continued ban on blood donations by gay men. I'm curious how that's playing in Orlando and around Florida today.
It's very frustrating to people that there has been a rule in place for quite some time that banned men who've had sex with men anytime from 1977 from donating blood. The FDA changed that rule within the last year. And now it says they can donate blood if they haven't had sex with another man within the last year. But that is effectively still a ban, because realistically, many adults have sex more than once a year. So it's very frustrating for people who see this trauma to their community, see limited opportunities for ways that they can help, and then they're banned at the blood bank lines.
Here's one more piece of sound. Dr. Chad Smith was part of the medical team that treated shooting survivors as they poured into Orlando Regional Medical Center on Sunday. Yesterday, he told NBC News it was the worst day of his career.
They said, we've got multiple gunshot wounds coming in, and it's not out of the ordinary. I went downstairs, and they started bringing one and two and three patients in, and then another patient came, and another patient came, and another patient came.
Dominic Holden, such a horrific story, so many ramifications here. I'm curious what's next as you see it in your own community, a way back from this, a way to heal from this in Orlando and elsewhere.
I think that right now people are asking themselves that question. I spoke to one employee who's a dancer at the club, and he said that, you know, if he'd worked that night, he would have been dancing and he would have been shot. And he said he cried all day and then finally decided that he needed to come out and be with his community to show that he's not afraid and that people need to support each other. But I think they're all asking themselves what happens next and how do they feel that clubs like Pulse and others in town are safe places again.
Dominic Holden covers LGBT issues for BuzzFeed. His latest piece is LGBT People in Orlando Refuse to Go Back into the Closet. He speaks with me from Orlando. Dominic, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jen.